I added one more podcast to the giant podcast bin. Now you have plucked that podcast out and started listening.
I took my microphone and found some human folk. Then I recorded all the noises while we spoke.
My name is Adam Buxton,
I'm a man. I want you to enjoy this, that's the plan.
Hey, how you doing, podcats? Adam Buxton here. Very nice to be with you again. I hope you're still enjoying some of the summer. Hope you have been able to enjoy the summer. I'm currently in France. I'm on holiday with my family. I'm sat on a wall near an old outbuilding in the middle of the countryside. I'm surrounded by vineyards, and it's the evening of the day. The sun is going down, beautiful sunset. But listen, before you get too jealous, here's a recording I made this morning when I stuck my head out of the window of the old house we're currently renting. This is what it sounded like. Yeah, we've had a few days like that, to be honest. I'm not complaining. It's all gravy when you're on holiday. I mean, you know, there's some low-level family tension when everyone's inside and you have to start doing the lecture about spending too much time on the devices and you start trying to get everyone enthused by playing word games and they're not enthused at all. But on the whole, it's great. I love France. I love holidays. I'm happy. There's also, actually, now that I think of it, there's been quite a bit of intrigue with sewage pipes that we've had. Several days have been characterized by meetings with sewage engineers, that kind of thing, and trying to understand what they're saying in French. My wife is better at the French than I am, but still. I'll tell you a bit more about the sewage situation at the end of the podcast, if you're interested. Right now, let me tell you a bit about episode number 78. This is a bit of an unusual one, but I thought I would put it out as a summary bonus for you because I have been on quite a long break. I'm doing bits of writing and I intend to come back on a regular basis in October of this year, 2018. There'll be weekly episodes from early to mid-October. But yes, I thought I would put this out. There was a few people asking, when are you going to put out the End of the Road podcast that you did? So the deal is that this episode features a couple of shortish conversations recorded in front of an audience, an open-air audience, with Australian comedian Laura Davis and the Canadian musician Mac DeMarco, both of whom were performing last year, 2017, at the End of the Road Festival, which takes place in Dorset's Llama Tree Gardens. Regular listeners will have heard me talking with comedian Bridget Christie at End of the Road in 2016. On that occasion, we were being heavily pelted with rain in a small woodland clearing. On the next occasion, 2017, which you will hear today, we were in a larger woodland clearing with a nice big crowd of podcats and beautiful weather on the Friday afternoon before Mac DeMarco played his headline show. So what could go wrong? Well, you'd have to ask the End of the Road technical team that day, who discovered at the end of our session that they had recorded none of it. These things happen. It was very frustrating. I was quite angry, but I calmed down and had a lovely, lovely weekend. What you'll hear today is an attempt to rescue as much as possible of our session from the bits of the show that I recorded on my handheld dictaphone. And I was using it for sort of intermittently recording crowd ambience, you know, like crowd noise that I could then perhaps edit into the podcast. And so for that reason, most of the conversations that you will hear are obviously off mic. But I found that if you listen on headphones, you actually get used to it quite quickly. And from time to time, you feel as if you're really there. I swear to you. So close your eyes and imagine that you're sat on a hay bale in a sun-dappled forest clearing in Dorset, surrounded by the cool and attractive young people that listen to this podcast. Ooh, look at them. From time to time, the sound of left-field music drifts across from a nearby stage. And then, out onto the small platform at the bottom of the gentle slope, walks a diminutive hairy man in his late 40s. He resembles a handsome caveman in a baseball cap. Or Saul from Homeland, also in a baseball cap. He reaches down to his laptop and fires off a jingle. And you and your fellow podcats, because you know all the words, sing along. Here we go!
Ramble chat, let's have a ramble chat. We'll focus first on this, then concentrate on that. Come on, let's chew the fat and have a ramble chat. Put on your conversation coat and find your talking hat.
Yes!
Blah, blah.
Onto the stage, Laura Davis. Hey.
Thank you so much for coming along.
Thanks for having me.
I've never met you before.
We haven't, so no. That makes perfect sense.
Yeah. I looked at the list of comedians that were going to be appearing at the festival this year.
Yes.
I looked at a few YouTube videos, and I liked yours the best.
Yes.
I just liked your face, Laura. Is that okay to say?
Yeah,
on
I think
the
it's,
YouTube
I mean, it's a bit useless on a bloody podcast. But
maybe I should paint a word picture.
Yes.
Laura is young. She is a lady. And, I mean, I'm assuming she's a lady.
We'll make a lot of assumptions here.
Well, she looks like what we in the old days used to call a lady. She looks nice. She has smiley eyes. She appears to me Caucasian.
Yes.
I can tell from her accent that she's non-British.
Definitely.
I'm guessing Australia.
Yes.
Western Australia.
Yes.
Perth.
Yes. Look, I feel like maybe you knew that before.
Wow, well, you did say.
Yeah.
You've just been in Edinburgh.
Yes.
And how was that? You got some nice reviews there.
It was lovely. I'm going to let you all in on a big secret. I've never left Australia before.
Really?
It's my first time out of my own country.
Whoa.
And yeah, everything is new. You have stinging nettles here. That is bullshit. You go on, oh, Australia's full of dangerous animals, crocodiles, spiders. I would swap them all to not deal with stinging nettles.
You haven't got stinging nettles?
We have them. We have different kinds, but they're all in kind of North Queensland where you wouldn't go anyway. Your woods are protected by the woods.
There's mild ones and there's really bad ones,
yeah,
as well. It's like, I think it's like tea.
And I don't know what they look like. I just know they exist. So I just assume anything green is a stinging nettle. That's it.
That's a bit racist. But did you know that you can deactivate them by just gripping them harshly?
No.
And one of the things you can do to deal with a nettle sting after you've got one, dock leaves were the things, mm-hmm, that my parents always, I'll get a dock leaf, they usually grow near my parents.
Yeah, but then to find them, you've got to go back in the nettles.
Yeah.
The whole system's flawed.
That's true. Can you be my joke doctor for a second?
Sure.
All right, here we go. So I come on and I say, my daughter's 9 years old, but I still try and read to her at bedtime whenever I can. This is all true, right?
Mm-hmm.
She loves historical stuff, also true.
Right, and this what you is, know.
Yeah. This is one that we're reading at the moment. Way back in late 1956, three countries were up to invading Etrix. They went into Egypt to grab a canal from Abdel Nasser, first name Gamal. It's a bit of Dr. Seuss.
Yeah. They really loved it.
It's a slow burn, but
yeah. It's one of those nettle jokes.
Exactly.
It's got a good hook.
Dr. Suez.
Do you have jokes? Do you do jokes or do you just talk about stories in your life and things like that?
I do jokes. Yeah.
Like when you meet...
The Pope goes to a fancy dress party. What is he? A blessing in disguise.
Nice! Did you write that one?
I wrote that one when I was 10.
10? That is prodigious.
And then I didn't write any more for ages, and then I went into, professional performing. I
mean, it's hard to come back from that.
Yeah.
At 10 as well.
10.
You're all washed up after blessing in disguise. All right, I feel like I want to give you another one of mine. Line up another one of yours.
All right.
Okay. What's the drug of choice for the enlightened comedian? Wisecrack.
It's really good.
I mean, it's no blessing in disguise.
No, it's not.
But it's quite good. Is this good comedy technique to analyse and then rate your own jokes very highly?
Certainly
what,
good for the ego.
That's what Bill Hicks used to do. Oh, I'll give that a 5 stars. Classic Hicks. You got to come back now, Laura.
Why did the dolphin cross the road?
Is this another original?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
No porpoise.
It's like a story.
Yeah. It's crisp, like a lettuce.
You're gonna make a film out of it. Are those jokes in your set currently?
The Pope one is there. If the audience annoys me, then I start doing one-liners until they succumb.
Okay. Your show is called Cake in the Rain.
It was, yeah.
Is that inspired by the song, MacArthur Park?
It was more coincidence than that, but I do know the song. I do like it. I was struggling to name the show, and I said, yeah, I need something that you know, I'm dark, but it's uplifting. It's sad, but it's sunny at the same time. I have a bit of a speech stutter sometimes, a bit of an impediment, and I'm just passing it off as Australian over here. It's great. I fuck up my words in Australia all the time. People are like, whoa, you talk a bit weird here. They're like, oh, that must be it.
Oh, she's Australian.
we say shunny instead of sunny. That's what we do.
Cake in the Rain, though.
Yes.
The quintessential Laura Davis. And do you mind me asking how old you are?
I'm 29.
29. So you've made it past the dangerous hump, which is 27.
Yes, apparently that is the danger. Is anyone here in the danger year? Danger year, apparently.
Yeah. It is tough. That's when the rock stars check out.
Yeah, it's mostly very talented people, though.
Yeah.
I felt like I might have been safe. I just made sure I did real shit work a couple of years ago.
Then you're going to step up your game.
Yeah, put out a couple of stinkers.
That's the way to do it, isn't it? Get past 27 and then start really working hard. Mm. Yeah, that's the way to do it.
Clear the hurdle.
That's the way I'm doing it as well. So, but not to do too much of a tonal swerve, but are you a sad person?
I've managed depression for years and years.
How long has that been something you've had to deal with?
I imagine it gets blurry the younger you go, but probably since I was about 16, 18 was when... you don't notice when you're at high school because it's so bleak anyway. you just assume it will get better like all the ads tell you it will, and then you leave and you go, oh, no, maybe we fix this.
And what did it feel like for you, though? When did you start thinking, is this normal? Or is it, as you say, like, when did you start suspecting it wasn't normal?
Well...
Normal, in inverted commas.
Yeah, well, I never... I think it was when I was 18 and I was at university and everybody else was planning out their lives and I had not. I just don't know what I want to do. I just hadn't planned ahead, and when I did, it was quite bleak. I couldn't talk to anybody. I would order a ticket on the bus. And that would be my one conversation for the day. I had such terrible anxiety, I couldn't talk to anybody.
Were you living at home at the time?
Yeah, I was living with my mum and my dad, so I would say goodbye, enjoy your day. One bus ticket, please, and then that would be the end of me for the day. I would go to uni and study. But I had kind of When I realised it was a problem was when I realised that I'd planned out my entire life around that. And so I had, in my head, planned out a life where I would not have to speak to anybody ever or meet anybody or go outside.
Well, how did your life look then? How was, what did that plan look like?
Get my degree, get a job, find a small studio apartment that I could afford to live in, and then try not to leave it as much as possible. And when you're looking at that at 18, you know, the average human lifespan for a lady is about 82, I think. You know, you've got a bit of time ahead of you in that apartment. So that was when I realised that there was something wrong with people working. I'm like, oh, well, what were you doing? I'm like, well, I've got a plan. We'll be in that apartment.
But did you always feel sort of uncomfortable and anxious talking to people, or was it something that kind of crept up on you? Was there, there weren't any specific incidents that triggered this, were there? Or?
I don't know. I was, as a kid, very, it sounds so pretentious to say, but just very aware. Just, I couldn't go to school without seeing the institutional bubble around the school. Like, I couldn't.
You could see the matrix.
Yeah, like I've always been able to see the matrix, I guess. Mm. And you know when they say for comedians to imagine the audience in their underwear, I go a few steps, but I just see skeletons. I just see skeletons made out of atoms that are billions of years old that have been other skeletons previously.
Yes.
It's just cyclic.
Yes, Robin Hitchcock sometimes refers to audiences and people as just carcasses. I sometimes find myself looking at people, particularly people with quite a distinctive face, and I can see clearly how they will age. Do you get that?
If I get very stoned, yes, I can see through time.
Yeah, it's a weird thing to see a young person, and then you can just imagine the devastation of time.
You can see it in a baby.
Yeah.
So you know how
you can go forwards and backwards.
Infant baby looks exactly like that person will look like at age 87.
It's weird. It's true. Yes. Do you have children?
No.
But you can really see it. The look my second born gave me when he was first out of the womb, just looked up at me and gave me a look of utter contempt. And not that that totally defines our relationship now, totally. But it's there are moments when that is there. It's so weird. It's like I can see
it.
Day one, hour, minute one, just like whoa.
It's fun to ask a lady comic if you have kids, because the kind of standard throwaway line that most male comics do is, oh, do you have kids? Well, not that I know of, but if I do that, then I'm very irresponsible. my little brother did when he was about 18 months old, had only just started to talk. He was crying, inconsolable, one night, and we were kind of cuddling him, like, oh, what's wrong? It's all right. And he was like, I want to go home. And we're like, hey, you are home. Look, it's your bedroom. It's just your bedroom. He goes, no, I remember. You know, just throw him against the wall. It's terrifying. Wow. Oh, right, off you go, play with your dolls. Have a nice time.
Wendy, do you want to go back in the womb? That's enough, wasn't it? I'm just pushing a baby. Anyway. And so, what were your parents... Do you mind me talking about this? I mean, it's weird, obviously.
It is a bit weird, but yeah.
You know, so, were your parents nice, though? Were they...
Lovely.
Were they worried about you? And
Yes, they were worried.
What would they say to you?
Oh, I had one argument with my dear, sweet, lovely mother because she had signed me up for a scuba diving class so I could make friends, and I was trying to argue that is the hardest way to make friends. You are underwater with a tube in your mouth. She's like, yeah, you won't have to talk to anyone. It's like, well, touche.
She probably read the phrase buddy breathing and thought, oh, yeah, this is perfect for Laura. So, yeah, they were...
They did their best, in other words.
Yes. How are you finding... I'm interested in trite comparisons, culturally speaking, between mm-hmm. Australia and the UK. You introduced me to a phrase I'd never heard before, mm-hmm. an Australian phrase, I guess, for the act of fellatio. A gobby.
Oh, yeah. buddy. Jack and the Gobby, love. That's not how we say it at all.
That's a good phrase.
It is.
Is that considered absolutely beyond the pale in Australia? If you, in a romantic moment, chatted about a gobby.
I use it in the joke. There's a joke on my... I think that one is only up on my Facebook page. If you were listening and want to...
Gobby or shark.
Gobby or shark. And I needed a word for blowjob that was ridiculous, and that is the one that I chose. Gobby.
I mean, it just makes me think of Harry Potter's elf friend. Yeah, that's what he does in his spare time. What? That's not cool. That is not okay to say about Gobby the house elf. Is there such a thing as cultural differences these days? Everywhere seems more or less the same
in the world. But... It is interesting because Australia imports so much of our culture from America and from the UK, so we're kind of that hard. We do have a strong national flavour, but so much of what we see on television, you know, you imagine the disappointment of a young Australian child realising that it does not snow at Christmas when 100% of your media tells you that it does. So our Christmas specials are all English and American. So I don't think that I get the culture shock here. In Edinburgh, I did find that the bus drivers were very nice and the shopkeepers are cunts. In Australia, other way around. Bus drivers mean as fuck. Shopkeepers very nice. So that's my one observation so far.
You should open with that. I saw a picture of you at Leighton Live in Edinburgh, the real bear pit gig.
Oh, that was my favourite, yeah.
How was it, though?
I love a rough gig. That's my favourite type of gig that I can do, is one that there's a risk of an actual physical fight.
Has it ever come to pushing and shoving?
One guy asked to see my tits once, and I slapped him in the face with my boob. And there's also...
So everyone was happy.
Oh, no. There's something quite threatening about... I've noticed that sometimes just my relaxed level is quite threatening to people. Just this, because I just see skeletons. I just don't care. And I think they can kind of get that sense of, I will stop the show, I will drag you out, I will spend 25 minutes making fun of you, and I'm not... worried.
Yeah.
Because what's the worst that happens? We're all going to be dead soon anyway. And it is that attitude that you win a fight with that attitude. Yeah.
You're playing the long game.
Yeah. It was something that I would quite often, if people did any sort of kind of sexist, you know, there's little lines you can do. People like, oh, show us your tits. You're like, well, I'll get new, but if you want to see a cunt, look in the mirror. You know, little zaddy ones. But there's also stuff if you just go, well, there they are. Now what? Now what? What does that mean? Now you see my tits, now what?
Have you done that before?
Yeah. Whoa. What does it mean? And they go, oh, we didn't know. Actually, we hadn't thought this through. So, yeah, they're there. We're made of cells. You're made of cells. Have a look, do you?
That feels like a good place to wrap things up. Ladies and gentlemen, Laura Davis. Thank you so much, Laura. Second guest is actually here or not, but he is. Please welcome Mac DeMarco. Hello. Oh. How you doing? Nice to meet you, Matt.
Yeah, nice to meet you too.
Isn't this weird? It's a weird world where you meet people in this type of way. The first time in front of, I'm going to say, 2,000 people. In a woodland clearing.
That's okay, yeah, it's pretty good.
You're probably quite good at estimating crowd numbers. What sort of size of crowd would you say this is, in fact?
Yeah, 15, 20 grand, something like that.
20 grand. He's going in for the grand. Are you on a big old tour at the moment?
This is the last show.
Is it?
Of a month. Abroad, so I'm cooked, yeah.
You look all right. You look sprightly.
Showered in the village over there this morning.
Yeah.
Well, not bad.
Do you take care of yourself on the road, Mac? Mac is indicating no. You are 27.
I am, yeah.
I was talking to Laura before about how that was the dangerous hump to be gotten over for every creative person, not just creative people.
We'll see.
Yeah. Does this feel like a watershed this year?
Yeah. I'm trying not to think about it, yeah.
Am I picking away at a potentially gaping wound of neurosis and anxiety?
I'm trying not to think about it. Yeah.
Hey, Mac, are you okay to play a little bit of music for us?
Sure.
Oh, great. Well, so...
If you want, right?
I think everyone would love that. Would you be okay to play, a couple?
Yeah, whatever works, sure.
Will you play one for us now, and then we'll talk a little bit more, and then maybe play one more before we say goodbye?
Sounds good.
All right, great. So, we have a guitar over here. I'm assuming this is for Mac. Oh, that's not in tune. Anyone got a pick? Come and transport it to the stage if you could. Hello, sir. What's your name?
Zeb.
Hi, Zeb.
Hi.
Thank you very
much.
We'll get it returned to you.
What do you want me to?
It's a summery afternoon. Everyone's mad for it. Most of the crowd are drunk out of their mind.
Okay, I'm going to do a song for you, which is an oldest song, which is a love song for my sweetheart who's back in Los Angeles right now. That's where I live. And I hope you enjoy yourselves. Yeah.
Always go together. Get a little more.
mic feedback here.
It sees in love, fits like a glove from up above together.
Do you ever watch stuff on YouTube, like music stuff, interviews with people that you admire and things like that?
Yeah, all the time.
And have you seen that footage of Lou Reed being interviewed in Australia when he gets to Australia, does a press conference?
Oh, and he's just not having it, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah.
And all they want to know is like, so Lou, you talk a lot about drugs. Do you think everyone should take drugs? And he's just going, Yeah.
I think it's a good model to, you know, why not?
So I thought maybe I would interview you a little bit like one of those types of journalists.
Okay, here we go.
As if it was back in the day. I won't do this for very long, but let's see how it goes. Maybe I'll be Australian as well.
Sure, yeah.
So, Matt. You built up quite a reputation for being something of a party guy. Party boy, kind of party mad, party monster man.
No.
But you do mad things on stage. You take your shirt off, you do crazy things.
No.
You talk about smoking in your songs and drinking and taking drugs.
No.
Are you finding it tough to live up to this party guy image?
Yes.
Is that true? Let's transform that question into a real question.
Sure, yeah.
Is it like a bit of a millstone for you? Are you reaching the point now that you're sort of crossing over in a lot of places, a lot more and more people know about you, they're aware of what you do, but you are accompanied by this image that is about like, hey, party guy.
Yeah.
And does that cause problems for you though? And do you feel like, oh man, I've got to rethink this?
I think the only problems that it causes are like, you know, the deterioration of my body, my mind, my soul. But I mean, you know, I like to have a good time. I don't know. I mean, you know, you got to really, you know, when I'm home, I'm just all about the TV and the couch and the hot chocolate and the cuddling and the calmness and the, you know, so.
And that's what's waiting for you. In a couple of days, you'll be back, will you?
Yeah, for 5 whole days in another month.
Oh, man. And you're out on the road again.
Yeah.
Oh, Matt, you sport a gap between your teeth known as diastema or diastema?
What? Is that like the scientific term?
That's the name for it, yeah.
I didn't know that.
I'm going with diastema.
Okay.
Plural diastemata. Although, why would you need a plural? That would indicate there were gaps between all your teeth.
Probably some people, I don't know.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, I don't know.
So, famous diastema faces.
Mm.
Lara Stone, the model.
Right.
Elton John.
Yes.
50 Cent.
Oh, yeah.
That's what softens Fitty.
Yeah, Fitty. He's cute too, he's real cute. Yes, he is. Really.
He's got a sweet smile.
Yeah.
And it's because of the diastema, I think.
Yeah. He also got like shot, his smile got shot like 8 times or something too, right?
Right.
Pretty good smile for getting shot in the face 8 times.
They shot him till he got sweet.
Exactly, yeah.
Vanessa Paradis.
Right, yeah.
There's about 70 names I'm gonna go. Beatrice Dahl from Betty Blue.
Yeah.
Did you ever see that film?
No.
Mate. Get it together.
I'm sorry.
Do you not like watching films?
I do, yeah. I guess that one just, you know, kind of slipped past me.
No, you can't let that one slip past you. What was the last film you saw?
Ooh. Star Wars Episode 2, Attack of the Clones.
And yet Betty Blue slipped past. You've got some priority issues there. How was Star Wars Episode 2, Attack of the Clones, for Mac DeMarco?
It was great. It was like the fourth or fifth time I've watched it on this tour. And
What's the best bit in that film?
It's an absolute train wreck.
That might be the worst one of the whole lot.
Yeah, but I appreciate it for that.
You know what I mean? I've nearly finished the diastema section. Ray Davis.
Oh, yeah.
Seal.
Oh, yeah.
Elvis Costello.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Terry Thomas, do you know who he is?
No.
He's a British actor. He played Cabs and Bounders. If you needed a cad or a bounder, at a certain point, Terry Thomas was your guy.
I'll keep that in mind, yeah.
And David Letterman.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Dave's cute as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They've all got hardness to them that is somewhat softened by the diastema.
You think it softens somebody?
I think it does.
Yeah? Can I smoke?
You do what you want, mate.
Okay.
You like Jonathan Richman.
I do, yeah.
And so do I. Have you seen the clip of him on Later with Jules in 1994? He's playing Now is Better Than Before.
Oh, yeah, I would have seen that one.
Oh, my God, it's great.
All his clips are great.
All of them are great, aren't they? And you've seen the one talking about Australian interviewers. You've seen Donnie. Have you seen when Jonathan Richman is on tour in the 70s with John Cale?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And he sings Jan Vermeer.
Yeah.
Oh, my God, it's good.
He's such a cute guy.
Look
He's
it up, listeners,
all,
if you haven't seen him. He's so great, isn't he? Like, how did you get into him, and what were the things that really hooked you in with Jonathan?
For me, it's kind of like, I think I used to hang out when I was a young teenager with a couple older kids who worked at, you know, the cool record store in town. And there was a music festival happening 3 hours in another away from our hometown in this other town. And
this is in Canada?
Yeah. I lived in Edmonton, Calgary. There was this festival happening. They're like, oh, we got to see Jonathan Richman. I was like, oh. And I figured it was going to be some kind of like, you know, scary, like cool, like, you know, abstract, like I'm a cool record store guy kind of thing. So I was like, yeah, cool. Yeah, I'm down, you know. And we got there, and it's like this guy, and he's so sweet, and he's just playing very simple setup with this little drummer Tommy, and the vibe that he puts off, and the way that he holds himself, and the way that he's been holding himself for like 40 years or something, just kind of, I don't know, it was like, oh, okay, that's how you do a show, that's how you do it, you know. So I don't know, just kind of gripped me as a young man.
Mm.
And I see him all the time playing at festivals and stuff now, which is pretty dope. Yeah.
And how old is he now? He must be sort of mid-60s.
He's getting up there, yeah, but he's, I think he keeps it clean, he's healthy. My friend Greg actually was doing some Tai Chi with him in a green room backstage area a couple weeks ago, so he keeps it on point.
You know? Yeah. Good for him.
Yeah,
but he's not totally, is he completely teetotal or?
What's teetotal?
Like, do you know how that phrase is? Over the pond. So, teetotal means that you have a colostomy bag full of tea and it means you just, no booze.
Oh, no, yeah, I think he's straight as an arrow.
Right.
Yeah.
Good old Jonathan.
There you go, boss.
And then, were you into him, like, from the early days, Modern Lovers? And,
yeah.
And then right the way through? Okay, give me top three Jonathan Richman songs, or a top three, like, some of your favorites.
Number one would probably be Just Beginning to Live. I don't even know what record it's off. Maybe it's off like a B-side, a 7-inch or something. That one I love. Let's go, maybe Pablo Picasso.
Mm.
And we'll go for a classic, Roadrunner. Why not?
Shopping. Do you ever play Roadrunner?
Do I?
Yeah.
Oh, no, I don't know. I haven't done it before.
Do it tonight.
Okay.
There you go. I mean, you would think that there's not that much to it. It's two chords, isn't it? I love Jonathan Richman.
Me too.
The holiday horn, it goes doo doo doo. Holiday time.
Have a carrot, have two carrots. Go to the toilet, take your time. Holiday time.
Now, I was talking to Laura about kind of cultural differences. She's never been outside of Australia before. Now you're a well-travelled man.
Yeah.
Are there things that you still find jarring when you visit different countries and that you're surprised by? Is there anything that surprises you in the UK?
I don't see it that much in the UK, but on this side of what you would call the pond, I guess the one thing that really still gets me is the shelf.
The shelf?
The shit shelf?
What's that?
Those toilets in some parts of Europe where... it's like... there's a shelf in all your doo-doo. It comes out and sits on the shelf.
Right. Yes,
it's like almost like an inspection table.
Yeah, I think that's exactly what it is.
Yeah.
Because it's supposed to be part of good health maintenance practice.
Just to pick through your...
You don't have to pick through it.
Okay.
But take a little look.
You really get the full...
flavor.
Yeah.
See what's going on in there. See if there's anyone in there.
It's kind of dumping in the woods.
Get them out. Give them a hand if they're in trouble. And we'll get off this fairly quickly because this is not fun.
It's not cute.
It's not cute. It's not funny. But it's my comfort zone. Conversationally, this is where I live. And did you ever, I feel okay asking this question because Van Morrison wrote a song about it, but did you ever have threadworm?
I've never had it. One of my old band members had it once, yeah. I've had a plethora of other strange ailments on the road.
Actually, though. Van Morrison wrote a song about ringworm.
Ringworm, yeah.
Oh,
Dr. Seuss, I got ringworm.
You got ringworm.
That's a great album. I love that.
For those of you who don't know, that's an album that Van Morrison recorded to try and get out of a contractual obligation.
Yeah.
He felt he was being ripped off by Bang Records.
Got another song called Danish.
How does Danish,
You want Danish? No, I just stayed.
That's right, yeah. And Big Royalty Check in the Sky is another one.
Yeah.
I'm waiting for that big royalty check in the sky. It's not coming.
Gentlemen.
Still ain't coming. yeah, threadworm. The first time you have threadworm and you see those little chaps waving at you, that's not a good time.
No.
I mean, as a youngster, I just thought, what the fuck is that? I'm in a horror film. This is bad. Mom. Said, have you been with any dogs? How do you mean, with...
Oh, yeah.
I've been kissing dogs. It's probably a bit much to blame it on the dogs. I'm sure you can get threadworm from other
shelf, probably.
From the shelf. This is where this started, the shelf.
Yeah.
You just sort of said the shit shelf as if I was supposed to know what the hell that was.
There's got to be a proper term for it, but we just call it the shit shelf. I don't know.
Yeah. All right, here's another semi-relate. I'm now relying on some questions that I created. Especially for you, I might add,
okay. That
I've grouped under the phrase pod quiz. Brilliant comedian Richard Herring would refer to these as emergency questions, but they're not his. I've created this one. He would insist that he created the concept of asking people questions. So I've stolen that off him. What is the stupidest thing you've ever done? I'll give you some examples of stupid things I've done to put you in the right area.
Okay.
Back in the day when CD-ROMs were a thing, and I used to love making CD compilations,
right.
I decided that the best thing to do would be to customize the actual disc. This was before you could print directly onto a CD, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I spray painted onto a CD-ROM, And then I wondered why it got stuck in the drive and ruined the computer.
Right.
Because the paint wasn't properly dry.
Right.
So I was pretty sad that day. And I thought, God, I'm stupid.
I'll keep it to the theme that we're currently running on. You ever been to the Forbidden City in Beijing?
No, man.
I was there once.
Forbidden?
A couple of years ago. You can go. I mean, parts of it, yeah, but you can go.
You just cruise right in.
Cruise directly to the public washroom, actually.
Oh, yeah.
And the person that was taking us around China hadn't mentioned that everybody carries their own toilet paper in China, or at least you should, because there is none.
Really?
Anywhere, yeah. And instead of using a sock or my underwear and leaving them there, and nobody flushes the paper down there because the plumbing is, you know, so.
Okay. It's like our house.
Let's just say I used some pre-used. And I became very, very ill.
You didn't lick it.
No.
So there was just some lying around, was there? And you thought, oh, that one doesn't look so bad.
Yeah.
That's impressive. I didn't expect you to come back with something that good. Have you ever licked the back of a metal ice tray and then...
Oh, you know, well, not an ice tray, but where I grew up, it gets extremely cold in the winter. So when you're a kid, it's kind of like, look at that doorknob.
Yeah.
Might as well lick it. Yeah.
What is your feeling, Mac, about wheelie bags? Would you say, can I summarize it this way? Progress or no-gress?
Wheelie bag is like a rollable... Like roll
yeah, luggage with wheels on it.
No, fuck with that.
Fuck.
It's not for me. I mean, maybe it would make my life a lot easier, but now I'm a duffel bag.
Duffel bag.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you can't sling it over your shoulder or, God forbid, carry it with your hand, then you shouldn't be allowed to use it.
Yeah.
That's what I say.
Yeah. Straight up.
Yeah.
Fuck wheelie bags.
Fuck wheelie bags. Here and now. No more. We're not going to take it anymore. Because, like, when you're in a crowded airport or train station or something and everyone's walking slowly with the wheelie bags, they're taking up twice as much space because they're dragging the bag way behind them where two or three people could easily be occupying that space.
Yeah, yeah.
To say nothing of the noise the little wheels make.
Yes,
yeah. Yeah. I mean, they could just... It's reducing overall fitness
That's
of the
true.
Populace.
Yeah. Laziness.
Laziness.
Yeah.
The historical pavements are being destroyed.
Yeah. Cobblestones.
Cobblestones that have been there for thousands of years, untroubled by the soles of human feet and footwear, are now having to deal with the hard wheels of luggage.
Yeah.
And Venice is being destroyed. It's a real problem.
Yes. Huge problem.
Why no inflatable tires?
That'd be nice. That'd
Why
be
no
cute.
Little pneumatic tires for the wheelie bags? Come on, guys. Guys. To alleviate that situation, will you play another song for us?
I could, yeah, sure.
That would be great.
Here we go. Oh.
Tell us about this number, Mac.
Let's see, which one should we do? We could do another love song or song about dogs. Which one do you want?
Dogs.
Dogs, okay.
People love dogs.
Yep. So this is a song about a figurative dog. Is it? I guess, yeah. It's called This Old Dog. Okay, it's a new song. Well, not so new now, but, you know, newer than the other one. Anyway, yeah. Oh yeah! Here we go.
Sometimes my love may be put on hold. Sometimes my heart may seem awful cold. These times come, these times go. As long as I live, all you need to know is this old dog about to forget. All we've had and all that's next. Long as my heart's beating in my chest, this old dog ain't about to forget. Often a heart tends to change its mind. A new day decides on a new design. New day gets set on another way. As long as I live, all I've got to say is, this old dog ain't about to forget.
This is an advert for Squarespace.
Hey guys, it's Broshak with me, Paul Broshak. We got Mike here. We're going to talk about his new MMA comedy special. We're going to talk about his view counts, and we're going to talk about conspiracy theories. What's up, Mike?
Hello, Paul.
Hey, brother.
I'm fine, thank you. I don't want to talk about any of those things anymore.
You don't?
No. I want to talk about... I built a website, Paul.
All right. Stream some fights, settle some beefs, stick it to the elites, that kind of thing.
No. It's mainly dog pictures, Paul. And I did it on Squarespace. Have you heard of Squarespace? I went to squarespace.com/Buxton and I did a free trial. And I tried some of the beautiful templates, Paul, and I typed things in. I dragged in pictures of the dogs. And before I knew it, I had a website, Paul. So I bought it and I've made some very sweet dog t-shirts and I sell those on the shop on the website.
Uh-huh. But do you still fight and stuff?
A little bit, but not really. Oh, and Paul, I wanted to tell you that when it comes time to buy your website or domain on Squarespace, if you use the offer code Buxton, you save 10%. Paul.
Thanks, Mike. Where'd you do that free trial?
Squarespace.com/Buxton.
And how sweet were the dogs?
Very.
Continue.
Hey, welcome back, Podcats. Mac DeMarco there. I enjoyed meeting him very much indeed. He was charming, if somewhat enigmatic. It wasn't the right place to really pin him down about some of the other things I would have liked to have talked to him about. And indeed, there were chunks of our conversation that just were inaudible on the backup recording. I salvaged what I could. I would recommend, if you're interested in Mac DeMarco, listening to Mark Maron's interview with him. Actually, that was the way that I got into his stuff. I listened to that and I thought, hey, this guy sounds good. I like where he's coming from. And sure enough, his music's great. And of course, before that, you heard Laura Davis. She's brilliant and I do recommend seeing her live. She's terrifically talented and charming and interesting and unusual. And thank you to both of them for being my guests. And thanks as well to the End of the Road Festival. They were very kind and hospitable. I had a great weekend. I was there with my son and one of his friends, and we got to see Car Seat Headrest and Mac DeMarco, of course, and Real Estate. Margaret Glaspie, was she there that year? I think she may have been. Ty Siegel, that's still one of the greatest shows I've ever seen. If you ever get the chance, if you like quite intense rock and shouting and loudness, yep, Ty Siegel. This year's End of the Road Festival runs from Thursday the 30th of August to Sunday the 2nd of September, and featured artists include St. Vincent, The OCs, one of Mark Riley's favourites. Mark Riley's DJing that weekend, I believe, at the festival. Vampire Weekend are playing, Feist, Ezra Furman, Yola Tengo, and many, many more. There's also a live recording of podcast sensation The Bugle, featuring Andy Zaltzman. He's also doing a stand-up set there. There's a lot of other great comedy that weekend as well. I do recommend End of the Road Festival. It's a nice, manageable, small size, very beautiful place, and excellent, interesting music and comedy. So, if you're able, do pay them a visit. I think you'll enjoy it. Before I go today, I will share with you the sewage story. I mean, it's not an amazing... You can probably figure out what happens, right? There's some poo involved. And I appreciate that this has already been a fairly scatological podcast, thematically. So, you know, I apologize, and I guess you could always switch off right now if that's not your speed. But it made me laugh anyway. My wife's sister was staying with us, along with her boyfriend. And one day there was a knock on the door, and it was someone who lives in this village. It's quite a small village where we rent this house. And they said in French, "I think there's a problem with your pipes. You better come and see." And sure enough, there was a problem with the pipes. I think one of them had broken or something had got blocked. And so a pipe from the back of the house was debouching. I learned this word because it was used quite a bit in the following days. The French word is déboucher. And you can use an English word as well, debouch, which means to exit from a confined space. And so this pipe was debouching the plops of all the people staying at the house with us into the village square from quite a height as well. So it was very embarrassing, the process of going out. My sister-in-law had to go out there and just shovel everybody's turds into a bin liner before kind of shamefacedly returning to the house. It's not what you want at any time, and especially, I think, not on holiday. Since then, there have been many liaisons with sewage engineers. It's been like Brazil a bit, you know, with Bob Hoskins. Anyway, there you go. That's a nice edifying note to end the podcast on this week. I'd like to say thanks very much indeed to Seamus Murphy Mitchell for his invaluable production support. Thanks so much to Matt Lamont for his edit whizbottery on this episode. Thanks to Acast for hosting this and other great, great podcasts. Do check out their platform and see what else is there. There's lots of good stuff. I think they host Atletico Mints. They've got a lot of ones. They do Ramesh Ranganathan's Hip Hop Save My Life podcast as well, I believe. I've been listening to a lot of Atletico Mints over the summer. What else can I recommend? I mean, I've been fairly unadventurous, actually, just sticking with my usual ones. A to Z of David Bowie with Rob Hughes and Mark Riley talking about all things related to Zainvid. Always enjoyable. Very comforting, I find it, whenever a new episode comes out. Actually, I'll tell you, here's a good one that you may not have heard, is Caliphate. I've just started listening to that, but it's already very good. Very excellent, intelligent reporting about the kind of people, well, I think there's one specific guy that they tracked down and talked to who was an American student, and he went and he joined ISIS and did pretty awful things while he was with ISIS and then got out of ISIS and talks all about his experience there. It's quite extraordinary, unsettling, but very well done. I would recommend that. Caliphate. I'll give you more recommendations when I come back later in the year. But till then, mid-October, take very good care. Rosie, in case you're worried, is safely back in the UK. I've got some friends house-sitting with us, and she's being well looked after. I miss her, though. Can't wait to see her next week. And next time I'm with you in the podcast, Rosie will be there too, I guarantee. All right. Take care, podcats. I love you. Now, will I do a loud one out here, or are the French going to be weird about it? No, I'm going to go loud. Au revoir!
Like and subscribe. Like and subscribe. Like and subscribe.